You really are a podcaster.
No, I got tired of f***ing with the microphones. I was like, f*** this, I'm getting a boom.
It's funny because I used to move around a lot when I was in studio when we first started this podcast.
Yeah, but that's because you've gotten old. It's harder to move around these days.
Not the way I wanted to start off this episode, but here we are.
The information shared in this podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. It should not be considered as professional legal advice or a substitute for seeking professional legal advice. I'm Michelle Locke, and this is Love, Lust, Raw. You've heard me on Love, Lust Fridays, and you've heard me on my own show, Love, Lust, Law. And now today, Jake and I wanted to get real. Real with all the things that have been going on kind of behind the scenes since the launch of Love, Lust, Law. In addition, we probably want an update on year-end activities and what we have planned for 2026. I've made a transition during this year from being a full-time lawyer, full-time mom, to now a podcaster with some other new adventures on the horizon for 2026. I've been completely out of my comfort zone and I've loved every minute of it. I hope that people are listening, learning, and growing as well, and will continue to do so in 2026.
So, Michelle, tell me about some of your joys, your frustrations, you know, some of the things that you just want to get off your chest. We haven't recorded in a little bit for this show.
We haven't.
No. Why is that?
Because you're a slacker. No, we haven't recorded in a while because November to December is notoriously terrible for family law lawyers because everyone wants to get their divorce finalized. Everyone wants to get their cases resolved before the new year. Lots of people want to be divorced before the new year so they can ring in the new year with the person they are now with. And everyone's like that. So the courts are slammed. There's lots of emergencies. There's lots of the kids are not doing well, so we need to go stop them from seeing the other parent for Christmas. There's lots of, oh, they went to the one parent for Thanksgiving. Now they don't want to come home. November to December is a nightmare up until like December 23rd for me. And that's the way it is for about every family law lawyer that I know that practices. So it's been busy. And then I've had some own personal drama to deal with as it relates to my boys. But I think we're getting on the other side of that right now, hopefully. But it's been a year where I held on to my seat. I didn't plan on having any more surgeries this year. I thought last year, 2024, was going to be it. I was disappointed to find out that I still had to have one more in 2025. So I'm hoping that 2026 is surgery-free. I'm hoping that we continue on this growth. What's happened with us, like our podcasting stuff just since July, has been nothing short of amazing. And now that I unloaded one of my other responsibilities because, you know, I was a part-time judge. And since I resigned that position, I've had a lot more time open up and I am so excited to have my full voice back because I didn't have my full voice while I was your judge. You're stuck under obligations of the judicial canons, et cetera. And so I really couldn't express my opinion on a lot of things. That has now been removed. Those shackles have been removed and I cannot wait.
I was so excited when I was in Austin to actually be there in the court on your last day. And I was really thrilled that I actually got to walk out of the court that you didn't sentence me to anything, because I think technically you had the opportunity to do so and you did not take advantage of it, by the way.
You know, I'm a little kicking myself in the pants for not exercising some authority over you like the one time I could, but no.
That was literally the one time you could. Everything else, you don't like being in a position where someone knows a little bit more information about something than you. And you're like, oh, my God, the frustration. You like to know everything about everybody. And that, I know that bothers you. However, I'm transparent. I'm an open book. I do move slow, but I consider it methodical. Now, we're going to meet in the middle and things are going to get much more aggressive in 2026. What we've proven is that you like to talk on mic. I think one of the things that I didn't realize is that how much we would love performing in front of other people.
We bring our terrible.
Well, I think it's entertaining, but I think that we have a really good knack for wanting to present to other people sort of our clown car. And I think it works really well. So we need a garage to park our clown car in.
We do because, like, I'm just thinking of a few dinners we had in LA and the people that were with us were like, I remember one time Lenore was just like, holy cow. I'm like, yes, it's like this all the time. I'm like, welcome to what happens when we record.
We're going to look into, and since I'm homed at different podcast companies, look into finding a home for the podcast. Okay. That's one of the things we're going to do to help us with a lot of the overflow when it comes to production, things like that, to keep us sort of regular. That's not odd, but that's what the case is. Keep us consistent.
Keeping us regular?
That'll be one of our sponsors.
For Miralax?
Yes, you'd be a great Miralax. When I'm not on the bench, I'm on another kind of throne.
Listen, I remember when I was pregnant with Manning, because I was judging. I was a full-time judge at the time. I would have to run off the bench, like, mid-hearing to go throw up because of morning sickness. I'll never forget that. Like, the whole 11th floor of the courthouse in El Paso could hear me, like, throwing up. It was awful.
You know, that would be great to work into your book. I think that some of the bodily functions would be a really strong way to kind of dive into this. She's sitting there on the bench. Her stomach's rumbling. She knows that this is the one thing. She tries to call for recess, but her gavel falls out of her hand. She slips to the floor. The bailiff catches a slight glance underneath the robe. He knows it's time. That baby's coming today. Do I have talent or do I have talent?
That's impressive.
I can do that. I can be help you with the ghostwriting part. So
okay, here's what we're gonna do.
Yes.
I'm going to write chapter one, and then we're going to go from there.
Perfect. Perfect. Tell us, what are the three series that you're working on to legitimize your career? Well, the ones that are going to legitimize your career and your trajectory.
Yeah, I don't think that'll legitimize it. But yeah, Behind the Bench, In Her Chambers, and Beneath the Robe.
And these are series that you're working on? These are, like, what are these that you're creating?
Thinking they're going to be, like, you know, the 50 Shades of Grey book, right? Mm-hmm. They wrote that with a powerful man that seduced, you know, the young whatever and fell for her. I'm thinking, why don't we make it a powerful judge? Female judge.
100%. I feel that would get a lot of traction. And I think that you're onto something here. When can anyone listening discover these, come across these, do a deep dive search for these?
I have to write them first, but now you're going to make me write them.
I never thought in my life, in my career, that I would get to this point, that this is the highlight of everything we're building here, is these books. But it may very well be. It may very well be the thing that breaks
us. Do you
know
how much money the writer made, author made, off those series?
How much?
Well, I don't know, but it's more than you and I make now.
Great fact checking. Great citing sources here. This is great. Yeah, why don't you look it up?
Let me ask Google. 50 Shades. Okay. You know what they call that? They call it mommy porn.
Oh, cool. I did not know that. This is
going
to take into 2026. No, I didn't know that. Uh-huh. You can really educate people here.
I could. 50 Shades of Grey. Oh, listen to this. The first 50 Shades of Grey film made around $570 million worldwide against a $40 million budget.
That's exceptional.
Okay. And the domestic earnings were about $166 million and international grossing over $400 million.
Wow.
That tells you right there the difference in at least like the European views on sex and the Americans' view on sex, which I think is interesting. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Grossed to the trilogy. This doesn't even include the books. This is just the movies. $1.3 billion worldwide, making it one of the most successful R-rated movie franchises. That'll be my pet project in addition to everything else I'm doing for 2026.
Honestly, you getting into the author world, I think, is the logical next step. I really do. Let's talk about 2026, okay?
Ooh, it's gonna
exciting.
Be a big one.
We have really just planted some seeds in this year to launch 2026 into the stars. So let's talk about, what are the things that you are excited about? What are some of the goals you want to share? And what are the things you think that, you know, anyone listening may be excited for?
Well, I think you and I are going to enter the era of video for podcasting this coming 2026, and I'm going to give you a deadline to do it. That being said, I think we're going to do that next, which I'm really excited.
One of our challenges that we're going to work on this next year is focus and having exact targets, having target dates.
Yeah, applies to you, not me.
I have those things. They just are not at the, I guess, pace that you tend to embrace.
Well, there's the difference between like a cheetah and a snail. There's a happy medium between the two. I'm a cheetah and you're like a snail on its last slime.
Okay, that's awful, number one. Number two is, just because you wear leopard print doesn't make you a cheetah, by the way.
Bitch, I'm a cheetah. You move slower than molasses pours out of a jar. You like that one?
Do you want it good, fast, or cheap pick too? There you go.
But do I appreciate your methodology? Yes. do I appreciate the thoughtfulness, the well thought out, what we're going to do? Yes. But man, it's never going to be perfect. So sometimes you just gotta take the swing.
Well, I absolutely agree with that. And there's certain things that we've done and there's certain things that we're going to do that will get us in this pace. But I think that ultimately what I'm excited about is our opportunity to take the podcast forum and expand it a bit, get into personalized cases that you either have had a hand on or people that you know. I think that would be a very valuable thing to bring to the table. So we're going to sort of dip into certain cases that ultimately are going to be ones that no one has ever heard about in the media before. And I think that's going to be really fascinating for 2026.
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to that because I think it's going to give a chance to see, you know, not just the headline cases, because there are so many cases that happen in Texas and California and Washington and New York that are all newsworthy. They just don't get the limelight that some of the more sensationalized stories get. And I think it's going to be interesting for people to listen to kind of the background and the history of it, especially when I talk about Texas cases, because I practiced criminal defense early on in my career and then stuck with family law. But I think the analysis is going to be interesting because it's, you know, I talk very plainly. I try not to talk like a lawyer sometimes. Yes, occasionally I use big words like vernacular. But as a general rule, I just try to make it, I follow my KISS method, keep it simple, stupid. Like, I just want everyone to understand from just the general basics, this is how the case went. This is why it went this way. This is what I would have done differently, or this is what was done well, not done well. Yeah. So I'm hoping to provide some insight that gives people new perspective on the court systems. You know, you talk a lot about amplifying your message. And for me, a lot of the amplification of what I want to do is in some ways directed to younger women, because I think sometimes it takes women too long to figure some things out that if we figured out earlier, we could be much farther in our careers at a younger age. So I really want to put out programming that empowers, rates, and encourages people to be their authentic selves. I mean, if we get down to the nuts and bolts of it, that's, I want people to embrace who they are, be authentic about it, and then figure out how to work who they are into what they want to do for a living. Because I think it's all possible. You just have to learn how to, I hate to say word manipulate, but people really have to learn how to use their assets and even their deficits to their advantage, because even your deficits you can use to your advantage. You just got to figure out what they are. You know what I did learn? My skin is a lot thicker than I probably anticipated. And maybe it's because I've been hardened by life or from what I do for a living. Although I know when I ran for district court judge, that definitely hardened me some because there were more knives in the back during that 9 months you can shake a stick at. But
you just described getting out of prison. So I'm wondering if you've done time, because the way you said this, you talked about hardened, you talk about knives. Can you explain?
No, I did not see any shanks, not been to prison. That being said, sometimes running in politics, which I learned I never want to do again, is a endeavor that shows you who your true friends are and who aren't. Also shows you that about everyone you can't trust, and everyone's an opportunist, at least in the political arena.
That's just like the entertainment business. Welcome to paradise, Michelle.
Well, it sounds like I'm prepped and ready for it. It was an experience that I'm glad that I'm not going to repeat again. I'm glad I did it. I can look back at the end of my life and say, you know what? Not YOLO, but quite, I tried it. I did it. I ran a hard race and I lost, and that's okay. I wasn't okay at the time I lost. That was devastating, but I learned that when one door closes, another one opens. And that's kind of what's happened this year. I've had some doors close because I've made changes in relationships. I've set better boundaries. I've learned a lot more who I am. And it kind of reminds me that, you know, you do survive most things. It may stink while you're going through them, but for the most part, you come out the other side learning some pretty valuable lessons. And so this is the first year that we have podcasted the entire year, right? We didn't get Love Less Law going till the summer, but you and I were doing other stuff up until then. And I'm learning about the, what do I call them? Keyboard warriors. I guess that's the best way to put them. And their commentary.
People with opinions, anytime you prepare to enter into the public space, whether it's social media, whether it's politics, whether it's entertainment, however you are baptized into the media, into the public at large, you do get hardened. You do have to prepare yourself for a lot of opinionated people. And those opinionated people can migrate together and form a mob in a way. So you experienced this a little bit. I mean, we're tackling certain cases, right? Celebrities that people have loved and adored for over 30 years in some of these cases.
The Angelina Jolie one, holy cow, the pushback on that. And I understand why her followers love her for so many different reasons, but I think it's as a general rule, it's not smart to blindly follow someone. Like that's how some of our megalomaniac dictators and people that started wars did. People just blindly followed them. And I don't think that's necessarily a smart thing, but I also don't think that this probably get me crucified as well, but not necessarily are all allegations that someone makes true or accurate. There are usually three sides to the story, as a good friend tells me. I'll call them FEMA. There is one person's side, there's the other person's side, and the truth is usually somewhere in the middle. And perception and people's histories also, and people's biases also affect their perceptions and their how they remember events. And I just think it, people should probably analyze a little more carefully before you just simply follow someone because they helped do VAWA in the beginning.
One of the challenges that I have as a podcaster, as someone who's a victim advocate in dealing with stalking, dealing with SA, dealing with DV in the context of the stories that we feature, are sometimes we'll have guests on and there are people that criticize their character. The problem that you have often is that not everybody in everyone's mind makes the best survivor or makes the best storyteller. Until you've walked in their shoes, you don't know what they've experienced, right? Not everybody's going to come out of this the same way. And you have probably faced this in court where you have people, you don't want to put them on the witness stand. They are a victim. But if you put them on the witness stand, for whatever reason, their character or how they're going to come across to the court may lose you the case because people may not like this person.
Absolutely. I mean, I've done jury trials where I remember an opening statement. I actually told the jury, you're not going to like my client. You're not going to like him. He has sent some terrible messages and you're going to hear those messages. You're going to see the bad behavior he's engaged in. But whether you like him or not is not the issue you need to decide today. It is what happened and who's best for these children. But oh no, I mean, absolutely. You've got some clients, in my case clients, and you've got victims that you know that people aren't going to like for various reasons. It doesn't make them any less of a victim. It doesn't make them any less of a better parent, but they may have a personality that is a not likable personality because not everyone's likable.
I believe survivors first. And when you have to quantify or qualify what a survivor is based on the crimes that we cover, that's one category. The second category is this, is that you can't defend every person who comes forward based on their character, but you've got to look past that and you've got to kind of look into what the impact of the crime that they've been victimized by or the criminal that they've been victimized by. And that's the one thing you've got to concentrate on because let's be fair, not everybody's going to have the same opinions. There are people that are going to come forward who may have never had any sympathy or empathy for a survivor until they became one. From my perspective, believe survivors, support survivors, and then dive in and dissect character based on separate issues. You know, I mean, that's kind of how it is. I mean, people are going to say certain things, vote certain ways, do certain things, and you can't follow or back every single one of their actions, but you've got to start somewhere. And if it's about a crime you're covering, it's about something that you're trying to prevent or share or amplify in order to get people's support, that's the direction you have to take. And that's a very challenging thing at times, but it's rewarding as well because you are putting yourself in a position where you can help them advocate. They feel seen, they feel heard is something that can be very rewarding, but also you do have to do your checks and balances.
I mean, that's what they do when you go to court. I mean, you've got criminal defense attorneys all the time that will try and paint the victim as this terrible, terrible person. So somehow it justifies the bad acts that happened to that person. I mean, that's like criminal defense 101. I mean, that's what you do. I mean, it's you make the victim look like the bad apple so that it detracts from the defendant's criminal liability. I mean, that's how it's done in court.
This was a year for glamour. I mean, you had your coming out, your debutante ball. We're talking photos. We're talking glamorous trips. L.A., Austin, diamonds, bling. Tell us all about that experience again. for the 17th time.
That's a little exaggerated. It wasn't quite glamorous trips. But that being said, this was very much a year of self-discovery, a year of learning about a portion of myself that I'd forgotten a long time ago and kind of embracing that version of me, which is the non-lawyer version of me. I mean, I so live and breathe being a lawyer that this was a year where I really stepped outside of being a lawyer, which was really fun. Like, I never thought I'd like fashion. I've learned more about fashion in the last 12 months than I probably ever knew in my entire life. So thank you, Lenora. And thank you, Troy, because I got to feel beautiful for the first time in a really long time. Everyone should have that feeling because, man, it reinvigorates you.
You have a lot of things to say. I mean, you're no shortage of words. We know that. That's why we can do this podcast. When you go out into the world as a business person, as a business professional, as a legal powerhouse, you've always made it a mandate to look sharp. Okay?
Correct.
What kind of advice would you give someone who wants to step up their game, but without sacrificing, let's just say, their personality or doing things that will detract from their business, but still align where they can still be powerful and still be, bottom line, admired in the space and push the boundaries of fashion without going overboard, let's say?
So for me, it's been a little bit of a learning curve in the fashion realm, only because there was a particular top that I wore when I was recording some of my videos, and the top showed a little bit more than I anticipated, and I knew it was going to show something, and I tried to cover it to some extent, but apparently did a really poor job.
So I'm not going to make any comments other than analytics, and I noticed that on that particular clip, it was a 6-to-1 ratio in terms of response rate. Just
was
saying.
It really?
Yeah. You had hundreds of response on that one. Hundreds. So, and it wasn't, let's be fair, content-wise, it wasn't any different, but the way that the fabric sort of hit the skin, the way that you were completely oblivious to sort of what was going on there, I think it sort of led people into a viral moment, and it was something that was either shared, liked, or appreciated.
There were some that did not appreciate it, but I was laughing. I'm like, Norma Kamali, thank you. For that particular boyfriend bodysuit, it was, wow, more than I expected, but looked really good. I'm happy. And with that happiness comes the ability to wear what I want to wear, as long as it's courtroom appropriate. Like the shirt and that bodysuit in that particular clip, I will not wear to the courthouse. Rest assured, won't wear to the courthouse. But you walk with a different step when you feel confident about what you're wearing and how you look. Really, it's not hard. It's not difficult to just get up and put a little bit extra effort into looking nice. It's not hard. But my mother raised me that you don't leave the house without being done every day. And Jake, you can testify to this because you've seen me many days in different hours. I'm always done up. I always look nice. I have makeup on. But I don't, my makeup routine, I do with Zoom and it's like 10 minutes tops. Like I don't wear a ton of makeup either. But, you know, a little bit of extra effort makes you feel good about yourself. And when people see you, they see that you take pride in yourself. They see that you put yourself together. And that first impression stays with people. I mean, it really does.
You've expedited the getting ready with me moment. I think that you actually have it down to where you don't have to truncate it. It just happens. And one of your most popular clips, one that got over 1 million views, is you getting makeup put on your face, which I think is apropos.
It is. And the fact that that one got over 1 million views is bananas to me for so many reasons, because y'all, that was just me. I mean, there wasn't any pretense. I mean, it was just me. Boy, the commentary on that one and like the sharing the passcode on your phone, like the porn one, which I learned that corn cob is the emoji for porn on Instagram. I did not know that before that post. I also learned a valuable lessons in emojis.
You're learning lessons left and right. And I must say this. You want to triple your reach? Makeup, that blouse, and dogs. Trust me on this. You will win the day. You will be crowned queen of Instagram for one day if you do that.
I don't want to be queen of Instagram.
I was reading some reviews the other day, and I noticed that people are really aggressive with their commentary, and they're really good at kind of dissecting.
Oh, they were. It was impressive. One of them was whoever I think did her filler should be fired, whatever. Then there was someone that actually put a motorboat, like emoji, like a GIF or whatever it's called. Is it a GIF or GIF? I never even know. GIF, either right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there was a motorboat one. And then there was, I mean, I was scrolling through it going, people have got to find something better to do with her time, but okay.
Have you ever been accused of having breast implants?
Oh my God, all the time. That is a constant. I mean, that is an absolute constant. Yeah, since I was young.
That's not a bad thing or a bad accusation. But here's the thing is that there was a time in life in society where people did not talk about their procedures.
Right.
Now, not only are people open about it, but they're proud of them. They're proud of the medication they're taking. They're proud of the injections. They're proud of this. How do you think we decided as a society to start embracing those things and get transparent with it?
For me, it was just, it was interesting because you can see the trend with the Kardashians in particular. And I'll go back, and this is where we go back to that. I remember early on in their stuff, they did, they x-rayed their rear ends to show that they didn't have any implants or anything, right? Of course, fat transfers aren't going to come up on x-rays, but that's a different story. That being said, about the same time that I started talking about all the things I've had done was shortly thereafter, and I'm not saying that they did it because of me, just I know when I started doing it, did they finally start coming out with, okay, we've had these procedures done. Because, and it's kind of like when you're in front of a jury has to believe you, a jury has to trust you, a jury has to know that you're going to tell them the truth. If it is clear as day that you're having work done and you're denying it, you'll look like a moron. And you look like you're that you're embarrassed by it, ashamed by it. Screw that. Modern technology exists for a reason. Like, we live longer now because of technology and because of modern science. So why would we not talk about it? I mean, to me, it's why would we lie about it? I'm like, yeah, I get stuff done. And there are, I mean, to me, it was just, that's who I am. I'm not going to pretend to be someone I'm not. So yeah, do I get work done? Absolutely. Because y'all, I'm almost 50 and I'm not going to not age, but I'd like to look rested. Like the night, I don't know, the turkey neck's driving me nuts. I got to work on that next. I just don't think if you want to influence people, you want people to listen to what you have to say, that you want people to learn from you or take the lessons that you've gotten from the school of hard knocks and maybe avoid it. You have to be a person that's willing to be authentic about who you are and your experiences, because no one is perfect. No one has no skeletons in their closet. And if they do, they probably never left the home, because we've all got a past. We've all got a history. But that's not what defines us. It's who we are from this day forward. I think just being honest and open about who you are is okay. It's a lot easier. I mean, it's just so much easier when you just own your shit and you apologize for what you need to own up to. And then there's some times where you don't need to apologize. Like, it's okay to be different. It's okay to do different things. It's okay to do lip filler. Just don't make you look like you're a duck. But, you know, everything in moderation. Everyone has flaws. But I'm okay with some of my flaws now. I'm going to work to improve some stuff. And then there's something on the horizon big for me that I think will go down in first quarter. I don't want to talk about it publicly yet because I don't want to jinx anything. But I think 2026 is
going to be said that was going to be like you're going to launch your OnlyFans. Sorry. Like, I don't want to talk about it because I got to make sure that I'm going to keep my job. But I've decided to launch my own OF.
I am not doing OnlyFans. Nope.
I think our minds work the same way in this.
Yeah, we're both twisted.
We're both dude adjacent. You're probably cruder than I am, but I'm a guy, so everybody just assumes I'm crude. They don't assume you're crude, but you basically will jump to crudity faster than I will. I test the water before I should cannonball in with crudity. Have you noticed that? Like, I don't really double down
like
on my crudity.
With the T word.
You, however, you lead with crudity. And I sort of, that's my second sort of path. It's crudity that is understandably embraced by the room, but I stop it or I don't do it if it's not. My brain isn't loaded with crudity. When I find a like-minded individual like yourself, then it's open season.
So I am definitely dude adjacent. That's probably why I have four male law partners and why I have male roommates in college. But the funny thing is I'm a girly girl.
You absolutely are.
I like the jewelry. I like the sparkles. I like my hair and nails done. Like, even though I'm a little bit dude adjacent, because I don't offend easily. I probably offend people more than they offend me. But I'm also very, very girly. And, you know, I mean, very much have a girl side. That being said, yeah, I'm a little dude adjacent. But you have to be doing what I do for a living. Like, you can't, I can't go into a courtroom and be sensitive.
You are a figure of authority. So you're being challenged and questioned every step of the way, I imagine.
Yeah. The one thing, you know, growing up, I always hated my voice because this voice on a woman is not the norm. I'll just put it that way. It's a very distinct voice. And when I was younger, I hated it. Now that I'm older, I've embraced a little bit more because I think it's a voice of authority that I'm lucky to have. Part of, that's not my shtick. That's the worst way to put it. But part of who I am is this voice. And the voice, for whatever reason, some people listen to. And so I think I've got a duty to try and, you know, spread my knowledge and help people out to the extent that I can.
I love it. Great conversation.
Well, you're kind of a rock star.
Thank you. I'll accept that.
Thank you for joining Jake and I today on our year-end episode of Love, Lust, Raw. It's been a recap, the good, the bad, some of the ugly, and what we expect and will have happen in 2026. It's been a fun ride so far, and I cannot wait for the 2026 ride. Thank you, Jake, for joining me on this episode.
Michelle, you're so welcome, and I'm so excited to enter 2026 with you. It's been years in the making up to this point.
Jake is actually one of the hardest workers I know, but Jake is so methodical about his decision-making as opposed to me, who lives in a courtroom, has to make decisions in 30 seconds before I speak when something goes completely south that you didn't anticipate going in court. So we operate on different speeds, but there's a happy balance. We are definitely yin and yang that has made 2025 amazing. And I know that yin and yang is going to make 2026 exceptional.
Absolutely. And I cannot wait till your literary career takes off as well.
Behind the bench. And like that, it's a wrap. Happy 2026, y'all.